you ever shut up? Do you ever shut the fuck up?
What the fuck are you worried about? I'm in a zone, man. I'm in a fucking zone. Would you relax? I'm in a zone.
Billy, it is one thing to embarrass me, right? It's another motherfucking thing to piss these guys off that we have to play against. They're just plain fucking stupid, man.
Yeah, listen to your teammate, Buckethead. You're going way past stupid into a whole new category.
It's called suicide, Chump.
Hey, Chump, call me Chump all day, bad boy.
Chump.
I'm in a fucking
Chump.
Zone. Fuck
Chump.
You, man.
Yo, get over here,
Chump.
Man.
Fuck
what
you.
What the fuck is up with you?
Hey, what are you worried about? I'm in a zone, man.
Look.
I'm in a fucking zone. They're pissed off. I'm in a zone.
Billy, this is not about black and white. This is about money. This is about green. You got that? Look, man, I need this $5,000. And I am not about to let you blow this for me. No fucking way.
You pissed off?
No, no. No, no, I ain't pissed off.
No, you
Billy,
pissed off at me?
I'm not pissed at you. See, that's what you want me to do so you can get me in this fucking zone you're talking about. But it ain't gonna happen because you ain't good enough.
Oh, is that another brother thing, huh?
No,
you fucking racist?
No, there's certain things you can do and there's certain things you can't.
I can hear Jimmy.
No, no, no.
I can hear Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Yes, I can.
You can't hear
fuck
Jimmy.
Fuck you.
No, you can't
yeah,
hear
fuck
Jimmy.
Fuck you.
Good, fuck me.
Yeah, fuck
good,
you.
Good, good. Fuck me.
Fuck
now
you,
say
man.
What feeling.
Fuck you.
Yes, yes. Fuck me.
Who am I, Gypsy Rap? Gypsy need her dollar back and all of that. My devil's only closer when I call him back. Lick her in the limelight. Lick her in the limelight with fine wine and ecstasy. You can have the rest of me. Basket case silhouette.
Sahan, welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is 2019. And hopefully we are recording.
Are we recording? All right, cool. I'm just gonna hope it's working, and then we'll find out when I'm editing yeah. if, like, I have to redo an intro just me alone.
Happy surprise!
No podcast this week.
But the best part
That'd
of it
be great
being
if
2019,
one day the podcast is just like one side of the conversation. He put out one like that already, where the audio is off. And I was in heaven.
I don't know why that makes you so happy.
Just because it feels there's when it lines up perfect, it feels like we're just ignoring each other. There's points where somebody's talking, and I'm just like, whatever.
That's what it sounds like every time I edit the podcast. I've spent like 10 minutes like putting things together so that we match up correctly.
This is, but when it, that one time when it did mash up, oh, it was glorious. It just felt like we were, it felt like we just went, you know what? I'm just going to record my own podcast over here. And it was fun.
For like 30 minutes until I uploaded a fix.
Yes, and I was very upset. And I forgot to download, to take that broken one off my phone. And save it onto the computer.
Have you lost it forever?
I did
now?
Lose it forever. Cause Pocket Cast will remove.
Yeah, once you finish it.
Right, mm-hmm. And I forgot to click the star thing. So then I realized what was happening. I immediately downloaded it and scrubbed through to the location. I was fixed. I went, God damn it.
But moving right along.
Yes.
As we're no longer
2019, y'all.
We're no longer in the game of doing 10-hour podcasts.
Yep.
Right. We are here.
Yes.
To do what we normally do, where we just talk about a new film that we want to talk about together.
Movies.
And this week we have gathered to look not to the future but the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have any 2019 movies to talk about. We're talking about the 2018 movies we missed out on last year that I'd heard great things about, and I thought maybe we'd find interesting to discuss, at least 2/3 mm-hmm. of us. And this is the debut feature film by Carlos Lopez Estrada called Blindspotting.
What is this?
Oh hey, I would like to get out.
Look at this.
I'm better wearing a glove, though.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to go back to jail.
$200.
Please let me out. Not Colin's gun.
Very nice.
Oh, I just got an Uber pickup.
You got it. Is this an Uber?
Hell yeah.
Slow down. No, you can't catch me. I'm on too fast on the gas. Don't chase me.
Put him up like this, you can. I'm a tough guy.
In which a young man, Colin, played by David Diggs, basically has to figure out what he's going to do about his crazy best friend on his last 3 days of probation. as he tries to survive life in Oakland and just be normal. I'd heard some great things about this movie, which is why this movie is here for us to talk about. I'm here to tell you I like this movie a good amount, but at the same time, I feel I like this movie knowing it's not perfect. Knowing that there are some caveats in this movie. It's almost as if Damien, you and I have talked about this a little bit with last year's Sorry to Bother You, where Sorry to Bother You found all of these messy things that annoyed me to no end. This is the version of Sorry to Bother You that has the messiness and I still like it.
So this movie just has some minor imperfections. that's what we're saying.
But it also has all of the ridiculousness that I was hoping for, right? From the portrayal of Miles by Rafael Casal, the best friend in this movie, who I feel he shines.
Hold on, sorry. I just want to make sure that we give this guy his real, his proper name, and that is the white guy.
Yeah, the white dude, who is not a hipster, right? He's, don't mistake him, he doesn't like that.
Oh yeah, exactly.
He shines in almost every moment of this movie that he is given, and it is lovely. It's nice to see the Shiva back on the screen.
Yes. The Shiva.
I'm pretty sure you guys would have loved that.
Yes, I did. When I saw her name, because I actually kind of know her real name. When I saw it in the credits, I was like, "Wait, is that the Shiva?"
Yes.
And then she came on the screen, and it was.
Yep. Did you scream it, Douglas?
I did. It's so sad that I love her so much for such a shitty joke.
Yeah.
It's great.
And she got so many episodes out of a shitty joke.
Wait.
You mean the thing the league hinges on?
Uh-huh.
That is not a shitty joke. I refuse to sit here and have you play yourself. Okay? It's not going to happen. That joke is tremendous.
Yes, it is tremendously shitty. Yeah. And that's why we love it so much.
God, the league is so good.
But the thing I really love about this movie is the way that it exaggerates almost everything about this world. It's not just the story of a black man who's gotten out of prison and he's trying not to get back in trouble. Right?
Andrew, that's racist. His name is Clipping.
Okay, Clipping. It's also one of these movies in which you have a scene in which a guy with a, what do you even call one of those cars that you see that guy in early in the movie who's selling the guns to them is like, I'm an Uber driver.
A clown car.
All right, cool. A clown car. Like that scene plays as ridiculous gold, right? When this movie comes out, there's the scene where he is, I kind of alluded to it, where Miles is mistaken for a hipster as they keep talking about the neighborhood changing, right? And people doing things like the quick burger where the guy says that you have to tell them you want beef, it's not vegan. It's these ridiculous things that you can feel the ways in which the guy making this movie is just talking about how his world is changing around him. And I really, really enjoyed the way this movie played out in its ways. There are also parts of it where I feel I want to watch it again to know how it really works for me, because there are parts I was not much of a fan of. There's a scene late on in the movie when you'd say things culminate and there is a extended rap sequence. And I mean, I know throughout the movie they kind of hint at the main character doing a lot of rapping to kind of calm himself down and just center himself and such, but it just didn't really work a lot for me. But at the same time, I also enjoyed everything else that played around that scene, including the way that he and Miles interacts at that point, which is probably the thing that makes this movie good for me, which is the relationship between between Colin and Miles, right? There are parts of it that are bad, obviously. There are parts of it that you look at it and you're like, you can tell that these guys are lifelong friends, for good and worse, and their chemistry is pretty much the thing that makes this movie keep ticking for me every moment moving forward. And I like this movie as a messy movie. I can't wait to hear Douglas's objections and many complaints. But Damien.
Hi.
I need to know from now.
Yes.
Is this me alone on this side? Or do I have a friend?
You have a friend.
Oh, sweet. Damien, tell me more about this friendship.
Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Douglas says, I may agree with. But despite that, I still like this movie. Me and Douglas talked a little about the movie before this podcast started. And I realized that there's more than a couple issues with this movie. Here's the thing, though. I don't care. this movie is just watching Rafael Casal kill
it. The white guy.
Just watching the white guy, Miles, the not Negro, Miles, kill the game.
And this is his first film role.
Right. He was so good that I had to check and make sure it wasn't an 8 Mile situation where this wasn't him and he just walked onto the set and was himself. I was just like, there's no way this is acting. This feels too good for it to be someone acting.
So what you're saying is that he's a hipster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Don't call him that. I don't.
He's so good that I don't care about the parts of the movie I don't like.
You mean the whole movie?
No, that is where me and you disagree. The end of this movie, the rap battle he has with himself in the police officer's basement, I, Damien White, will cut that out of this movie. I'm keeping this movie. It's going to get a director's cut. I'm taking that part out. Especially because right after that scene, the movie ends perfectly.
Yes, I love that scene where they're just together, so, calming each other down. Oh,
so all of this movie works. The movie starts off.
Whoa, hold on.
Stop.
No, wait. I just want to make sure that I am clear
on
this just shithousery of logic that you're using, which is that this movie has problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to forget those problems.
Yes.
Therefore, all of the this movie is good.
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's my kind of logic. Yeah. When I'm done with this movie.
No, the question I'll ask you is this. So, this movie that works for all of the movies.
Yes.
How long is the movie? And this is a multiple choice question. Is it A?
Yes.
1 to 5 minutes?
80 minutes.
Is it B? 5 to 10 minutes,
uh-huh.
Or is it C, a goddamn lie?
Is this an Anchorman joke we're leading into, right? It works 60% of the time, all the time.
It is when I am, the movie I have in my head, the movie I will edit in short notice, is the movie I want. I will take out their blatant assault on logic at the start of the movie,
uh-huh.
Where they're just like, 12 months ago, and then 11 months and 28 days. And then the thing that you saw and got very upset about.
Very upset.
When they're just like, 3 days left. I'm going to take that out. Thank you for reminding me. I added that to the notes.
So fucking upset with that.
I'm taking out the bullshit rap battle at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of this movie stays. I like when the movie started. Because you see him and he's just in the back of the car and they're talking amongst friends. And then for some reason, the guy has 18 guns in the car. And the white dude is just like, I'll buy one of these guns. And that entire thing was great. And then the movie continues. And you get the first hint that this movie thinks it is off import. When he sees a black man be gunned down by a police officer. And he has some issues with that. But that is the part of the movie that I will look past. Because this movie is just waiting for the white guy to come back on the screen. And as long as he's on the screen, which is 75% of this movie, the movie's gold. Like, hearing him shit on the Shiva, and then you didn't realize that she was actually working. Because in the beginning, I didn't realize that they had a relationship. I thought that he was trying to look her. Yeah. So when the white guy was giving her a lot of shit,
I was a little upset about.
I was just like, wait a second.
Right? So for some reason, it became less interesting to me when I found out that they all had relationships from before. I thought, I don't know why, but I feel like I would have at least had more of a time if these were all relationships since he got out of prison,
right,
and that there were things that had to be sorted out.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie just... Anyway, continue with your bullshit argument.
Can I also mention as to how I love the fact that they stole the Michael Peña Ant-Man joke?
Yes, but and they put
Mindy Kaling's brother or whatever he is.
Yeah, Mindy Kaling's
brother. To do that sequence. I love that.
Oh, that's where I know him from. I remember seeing and I'm like, I know him from somewhere, but I don't like this movie enough to care about it. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this movie. No, I've only seen it the one time.
Mm-hmm.
But one time is enough to know that white boy is killing the game. And as long as he continues to be in that movie, I will continue to like that movie.
Yeah.
And I will try my best to edit out all of the bits where the movie thinks it's important and is trying to say something profound. And I'm sure to some people it is, and that is fine. But this movie is 75% the arms of that are wanted. And then... for some reason, he thought, no, we need to have a message. And what I secretly want to do, but I don't think I'm going to spend the actual time to do this, is, you know, Don't Be a Menace to Society?
Mm-hmm.
Where every time they said something profound, there'd just be someone who gets up and says, message! I want to do that with this movie. Anytime they think they're saying anything that is off import, I'm just going to have like the Mortal Kombat pop up where the guy said toasty. Just going to have someone pop up and go message to add some more arms of this movie. Because this movie, I like it. I like it a lot. I love White Boy's character. I love his girlfriend. The two of them are just everything to do with when he's inside of that house is tremendous. I like just them going around being friends. And then shit happens and the movie, I think, tries too hard, that final scene. But that is 10 minutes out of a 90-minute movie that I'm not going to ding the movie that hard for. I really, really, really enjoy. And I enjoy the fact that they weren't... up until that final scene, I enjoy the fact that they were just dudes. Like, they weren't trying to be rappers. Like, there was rapping in the movie, but it just felt like the type of arms house that you and your friend keep up all the time. And then that ending tried its best to get me to not like the movie, but it did not do it.
Can we also talk about another scene I really love in this movie, which is when, as you like to call him, White Boy, yes, goes to sell at the hairdresser?
Yeah.
And who is...
I was trying to keep those scenes out of it, because that is just him flexing. Like, him selling the boat, him selling the hair... the hair thing, and when he was having the nightmare and he was the judge, like those three scenes by themselves earned this movie 4 stars, 4 out of 5 by themselves. And then the rest of the movie is good enough.
And then, of course, that scene, I really love that they used Tisha Campbell for that scene. Like, I just had Martin played
M. Shyamalan Knight.
So, okay, so one thing. One joke that I had in my mind. So, as the credits rolled up in the beginning, you saw that Tisha Campbell was in this movie, mm-hmm. and her name is now apparently, I guess she's gotten married, Tisha Campbell Martin. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of dying that her name now, she's stamped Martin. With the Martin name, right? Because that's. But so, fuck you guys.
Yes.
This movie.
It's so good.
So
fire.
You know. Usually we start with something, a statement like, say, both teams played hard.
Yes.
But I don't think I can say that. I mean, one team?
One player.
No, I mean, some of... no, not even some of our team.
Played very
one
hard.
Player. One
His
specific
girlfriend
person.
His girlfriend also played hard.
Played hard. No, no.
His girlfriend played
Only
real
one
hard.
Person yes. was good enough over the whole of this movie for
qualify.
Me to say, all right. And that is the white guy. Yes. Right? He was fucking spectacular. I will give you, Damian, yes. and you, Andrew, that 1 point. I really, really love that guy. And what he does... And how he's so good that when he's in a situation, he will make everybody else in that situation seem good. You spoke to the scene with Tisha Campbell. That was amazing. All of those things are amazing. I'll give you that. No, let's roll back. One person does not make a movie. And let's start from the beginning. So first of all, I didn't realize that I'd actually seen a trailer for this movie before. And I'll give you this much. This movie is better than the trailer promises.
Agreed.
Because I watched that trailer and immediately said, I'm never watching this movie. Because it promised me a movie of import where a man sees another man getting shot down and has a 3 to 4 hour existential crisis about whether he should tell on the police officer. Which I'm sure a lot of people would have liked that movie, by the way, because that's an important film. Luckily, this was not that film.
So I mean, this sort except of was that
so that's
film,
one mark.
But that? It sort of was, and this is the thing as to why I kind of bring up Sorry to Bother You in comparison to this. I think that this mm-hmm. is that film. I just think unlike no, how not. Sorry to Bother You deals with it, they deal with it in a completely different way that it's... We can come out of this movie and just talk about the ridiculousness of the friendship, right? And never talk about that part of the movie. But I think that part is definitely there.
No, I agree. Right? Yeah, they
there,
do try to deal with it. But the thing that they've...
It's part of the movie I don't like.
Yeah. And the thing about this film is that... Excuse me. I expected that to be up front and center. That was not up front and center. You can literally cut out... 5 minutes out of this movie
and
never know
it.
That it
yeah.
happened.
You'd never see it.
Right? You'd...
It's just the yeah. actual event and mm-hmm. him running in the mornings. Both of those... Right. And that is where the panic
no,
attacks come
No, but even if
on.
You leave him running in the mornings, yeah. it still serves as something else.
Yeah.
Or it could.
I think,
right?
it, would, I think it would just confuse you as to what is causing the anxiety. But yeah, it would still kind of work yeah. for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Right, because
and
you could make
scene,
an
yeah.
argument that it has to do with the fact that he's trying to change his life.
Yeah,
and
so it could
other,
just
right?
be the incident
yeah,
and
exactly.
the end scene, and
yeah.
then you'd never know that
you'd
happened
never
in the movie.
Ever know, right?
That is a good point. I'm going to fix this movie, Douglas. Douglas, I can fix this movie.
Damian, if you fix this movie, I will love this movie okay. because I know there are scenes. But again, fuck this movie.
Fair enough.
Right? Because again, so lucky for this movie, I didn't actually realize that this was the same film until about 5 to 10 minutes in. Unlucky for this movie, it showed me from day one that I'm not going to like this film. Let me tell you why. And Damon's kind of spoken about it a little bit. Because unfortunately, I told him this earlier. So he let the cat out of the bag. But so when the credits open, the first thing that you see is you see a little intro about, you know, him going to prison and then getting out, and essentially something like, you know, today or 12 months ago, and then it fast forwards to, and on the screen it says in words, 11 months, 3 weeks, days, and yeah. 8 days, or whatever it is, right?
The countdown starts.
Exactly. But what this movie immediately did is it assumes that I either don't know how math works.
Correct.
Or don't know how calendars work.
Also correct.
Or don't know both of those things.
I need you to read out loud because what's on the screen.
You dumb.
Yeah. Because immediately, right, after this, it then the words fade to black and then new words come up to remind me that if I did the math or if I knew how calendars worked, I would also then know that this means he has 3 days left. Right?
Remember, this movie had to be played in America.
So immediately, I wanted to go fuck this movie. Right? And it just never got better. So, clipping while he tries is not a great main character for this film.
Yeah, but his friend is so good.
His friend, agreed. His friend.
And his friend is beside him for most of the movie.
But Damian, clipping.
Who?
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this white boy movie. Let's talk about the best version of 8 Mile. They did it. It took years, but they finally got me an 8 Mile movie I like.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, I'm sorry to say that as much as this film doesn't actually address it as much as the film thinks it does, what the film also thinks it is and lets me know constantly is that it does think it addresses this issue as well as other issues, and that this is a very important film to watch.
I'm not sure. And I'm not sure about that, Douglas, because the thing about it is, and let me
end of this movie gives it away, right? Andrew, like, I want to defend that part with you. Like, I want to disagree.
No, but all right, let me say one
but
thing.
But that ending, let me say, is blatant.
Let me say one thing, right? Because I feel the issue we tend to have with a lot of movies that deal with issues in general, right? Mm-hmm. Is that basically what the movie will do is it will present to you the issue in, of course, its crazy dramatized way for an hour and a half, right? That we get annoyed at because we kind of know most of the details at that point before the movie even starts. And then spends the next half an hour solving said issue and says, see, this is how you fix it. Mm-hmm. Right? And I feel this movie doesn't really go that blatantly on saying, this is how you fix it. And for me, it's more of them talking about, this is how they feel about it. Right? This is how it feels to them. Right? And it's not about them saying, here is a fix to the solution. They're just saying, this is the thing, right? And I mean, I can disguise it in saying that they put it in a real movie as opposed to the previous version of an issue movie where they just spend an hour and a half hitting you down the throat with issue scenes. But I don't think this movie is as egregious as you think it is with its import or with, as you like to say it, a movie that thinks it's important. But I think it deals with it in a very different way that I like.
So this movie tries to tackle the unemployability of ex-convicts. Mm-hmm. It tries to tackle the inevitability of getting into trouble when you have a dumbass friend who you need to run away from, who is the personification of the place that you grew up in. It deals with... essentially Black Lives Matter, which is the shooting that bookends the film. It deals with so many things, or tries to, that it's just exhausting. And I know that people love this shit, and that's obviously why this movie got the sort of buzz and love and write-ups and hype that it got, because that's something that a lot of people like, either because they actually like it or they think they should like it because it's important.
Right. That is where, So the issue me and Douglas has with, and the reason, like, we've been using it as a shorthand for a long time, but I think it's time we actually define the issue. And Douglas is getting there. There are movies that we feel get additional love, not because the issue at hand is something people actually like and care about, but it is because it is an issue that people think they're supposed to like and care about this issue. Not because the movie handled it particularly well. It just, it feels, it feels like when, you remember when that Pepsi ad came out with Kendall Jenner? Oh, right. Yeah. Where they're just like, they're like,
by the way, the protests. I've never watched that ad, and I have a feeling in your mind, people are just being idiots.
No, man.
Is it bad?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy, Douglas. Douglas, there is a, there's basically a police brutality scene, and there's rioting on one side and the police on the other side, and Kendall Jenner solves everything with fucking Pepsi. It is worse than you can imagine.
Wow.
But that is, it feels like someone took an, like, heard about an issue and is just like, oh, this is important. Mm-hmm. Let's do something with this. It feels corporate and lazy. And while I understand that Douglas sees all of those things in the movie, and when he says them, I see it. And I, the more Douglas talks, is the more I don't want to like this movie. The problem is, That
one while, guy, I know, right, I know.
While that movie is, while the movie Douglas saw is there, most of this movie is just two idiots being idiots. And the rest of that is on the periphery, and they try to, like, hit certain points. There's a point where he's just like, I have 3 days left. Don't let me have to write you up for not cleaning the bathrooms and send you back to prison for a year. So you're just like, yeah, it feels like the process of being on probation, coming out of prison is like, it feels like they're trying to give you things that you can slip up on so that they can send you back to prison.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I haven't really spoken about, right, but that really kept me.
And you have to be in by 11 o'clock. You can't pass a certain time. But all of that is when, what do you call him?
Clipping.
Right, when Clipping is on the screen.
Because that's his name. His name is Clipping.
And that's cute, but that only happens at the end of the day.
Where is the name Clipping from?
Okay, so you don't know this. All right, so his name, I assume it's pronounced David.
Yes.
But I'm just going to call him, since you don't know David. Clipping, I'll just call him Not David.
Yeah.
So Not David is an actual rapper.
He's a rapper.
And I've known him for quite some time. And his band name, it's actually not just him. It's him and I think one or two other guys who make the beats for him, is called Clipping.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I call him Clipping.
Like, there's things.
And by the way, if you didn't know this, he was also in Hamilton, which everybody, the original run of Hamilton, which everybody obviously went batshit crazy over.
I only know one name when it comes to Hamilton.
I know. Everybody only knows one name when it comes to Hamilton.
Manuel Miranda, I think is his name. That's the name? All right. Mm-hmm. So I also know only one name when it comes to Hamilton. The movie deals with gentrification and it deals with you know, the dangers of having a gun around children. Like, it deals with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, at no point, with the exception of the incident and the very end, did the movie go, hold on, wait, let us deal with these things.
But it, I think that, like, makes it, was it just, even worse, because what it did, no, right?
It
what
made it me did feel is even better.
It put it in front of me, and maybe it, because I'm overly sensitive, so that's probably what it is. It put it in front of me, and every time something new came up, I felt in my mind, I was like, ah, fuck, we're going to have to deal with this now. And so that just kept happening over and over. And you're right. Maybe it didn't go to fruition, come to fruition, except for that half-assed ending with the police officer, which, by the way, I will say it was shitty. It was bad. It was not thought out properly, but I did appreciate the ability, the craft, and the rap. Right. You know, that was happening.
His rap ability.
His, yeah. Because that's one thing I do like about this guy. Outside of this movie, because I was talking to Damien.
Right.
I assumed he didn't know him, but apparently Damien does know of the band Clipping.
Yes.
They tricked me once, and I bought one of their albums because that guy can really rap. He's really good.
He can rap.
However,
he has the rap.
They are very experimental. So
the I don't beats, want to listen to it.
Them beats be tricky.
Essentially, can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Right. So going on about these issues and movies and how these things are all coming together, I'm curious, right? So like you earlier before we started recording, we were talking about our top 10 a little bit. And I don't know how closely I can even align these things, but I'm going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You mentioned how you wanted the Lars von Trier movie into the top 10, right?
Yeah.
And I've spoken specifically about that movie and how I took that as Lars von Trier talking about Lars von Trier, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I did too.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was that's not necessarily an issue in that it's a social issue, but it is a... It is completely a thing that the artist is talking to us about specifically, right? And wraps his movie around. I know that Spike Lee is a dirty word on this podcast, right? But
yes,
I have a feeling. I have a feeling that most of us come to agreement that Do the Right Thing is a pretty damn good movie, right?
All right. So I will allow people to say that around me. What I would say about that film is that it is an emotionally evocative film and it is well crafted. I fucking hate that movie.
So is it just about your personal decision as to when you feel a movie is well crafted, you let it go? I'm just trying to figure out where this really, how far, because I've recognized and I see the movies that I know will definitely trigger this argument from Douglas a lot of the time, and I steer away from a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, for the podcast, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, because the thing is that I feel generally, like, forgetting the Marvel cookie cutter movies, right? That 90%
which are awesome.
Generally, like 90% of the movies we'll talk about for this podcast will always kind of try to touch on an issue, whether heavily or lightly.
Yeah.
Right? In some way. Right? And I mean, if every time you come to a movie, you're like, fuck, I know how the real world works. Don't tell me how to do this in my movies. I mean, how are we going to do this?
No. So what I was trying to get at is that me and Douglas are naturally cynical people. And so when we see something in a movie that feels cynical, like it looks to people that it is genuine, but me and Douglas can see someone wrote this on a board and that is why this is in this movie. This didn't need to be done like this. And it shouldn't be hit this hard. If you're going to do this, there's better ways of getting it done. But you think that I think this will evoke some emotion. And that is why you put that in there. And that is where me and Douglas is like, listen, you guys might think this is important, but we don't give a shit. It is plain as day that you guys you don't actually care about this issue. It's not something important to you. You just put this in the movie because you think you're supposed to put this in the movie. But there's times when the movie is good enough that we realize that, yes, that might be where the movie started, but you did your job. Moonlight is one of those movies. We saw the trailer and you're just like, oh, shit.
Yup.
Oh, shit. And then you watch the movie like, oh, yeah, all
right.
You
know movies like that? Which, by the way, is about to get A great remake, is The Intouchables.
Yeah.
I went into that movie just hands crossed.
Just come on, dog.
Yeah.
Come on.
And I ended that movie loving it. And for me to like a movie like that,
yeah,
where not only did I, was it the movie that it was, I went into the movie knowing what it was and deciding that I hated it. That is a great...
And then it beat you.
Yeah, it beat me, right? And I cannot wait to hear people say how great Kevin Hart is and, yeah, in
so you can just go, movie. No. Douglas, I know I'm supposed to keep an open mind when it comes to certain movies. Unless Andrew comes at me and he's just like, yo, they did it. Because I'm not watching that movie.
I have zero interest in watching that movie.
There's just no way.
I have the movie I want. I don't need the Kevin Hart version. I'm okay.
I mean, just look, like, speaking about being cynical and making a movie. So it is not that we don't want anything in the movies. We just want the movie. We want the movie to respect us and know that we understand that these things are issues.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do a movie about the issue, then explore that and make the movie about. Don't just slip it in and be like, oh, yeah, you know, we know that these things are a problem. And we want you to know that it's okay to watch this movie. It feels like Oscar bait. Where you see a movie and you're just like, the only reason this shit got made was to win some fucking award. Like, none of this movie appeals to anyone. But you're just like, oh, the Academy will love it. It feels like you're making the movie for those type of people. Which, like, it is aggravating. You sit down and you try and watch a movie, and then what you get out of it, you're just like, you.
and one thing I'll say, right? So I tend to agree with pretty much everything that Damon is saying right now. But also, I will have to admit, because every once in a while, as we said, there is Intouchables or there's some other movies where Andrew or you or somebody will point at me and say, Douglas, what... You're not supposed to like this movie. Yeah. Why do you like it? Uh-huh. It's important. It has feelings.
Yes.
And obviously, this is a very subjective thing.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I know that I have no rhyme nor reason for why I take up and hate a movie like this, other than to say that, well, it... Fuck that shit. You know, it caught me on the wrong day. Or it's just super important. But, you know.
Yeah, like, Andrew, I love this movie. But the things I love about this movie are so good that I'm just overlooking their blatant attempts to slip in.
Yeah.
So much shit.
Because like, I also, and essentially I'm on the other side of the fence where I hate this movie, but I 100% agree with you that there are things to love in this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie, like, parts in particular, that one guy, so funny.
Yeah. So good.
Like, as you said, just put the bounce in it. People like it when you make it pretty. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Tremendous.
He sold a boat.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, listen, they showed the gentrification of Golden State, right? But then they had to go back and double down. They couldn't just leave it at, look at these fucking hipsters. And like had the two jokes and then had the guys move on. They had to have... You know, the confrontation towards the end. And it's like, that wasn't really necessary. Like, we understood. We know that there's places where the people who grew up there, especially in his case, he grew up white, somewhere predominantly black, and started to earn his stripes. And he is now slowly watching the town around him become more like him and people not mistaking him now, not for someone that is endemic to the state, but somebody who... is faking it.
And actually, I kind of didn't like that because, let me tell you why, I would have preferred, because if you think about it, he is somebody, as I said, who grew up in the environment.
Right.
That's how he is now.
Yeah.
Or how he is, how he grew up. I would have preferred that that's the tack they took, that he's just, this is him, as opposed to what ended up happening, which is you kind of see a hint of, oh yeah, I'm definitely kind of faking this, at least a little bit, right? Which is stupid, like, yeah, come on. You know?
It's like some acceptance that I can tone it down now.
Yeah.
Because now there's more people that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can turn the gangsterness down. And, but they didn't need the confrontation at the party to sell that.
Nope.
They didn't. They didn't need to explicitly talk about that. They didn't need three black people to sit on a couch and go, boy, look at all these posers.
Oh, and lastly, I forgot.
Why?
One of my favorite reasons to hate this movie.
My dude.
And it's actually my favorite reason to hate any movie is when you find a really shitty way to blatantly call out the name of your film during the film and make it seem as if it is an important plot point.
You mean like every Indiana Jones movie? Boom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but those movies are fun. Yeah, I'm not trying to say anything about it. In fact, if you take any message from Indiana Jones, it is that people should not be allowed to explore other people's countries under any circumstance, because they are blindly going to do whatever is necessary to extract what they want to the detriment of the society and the historical site.
Damian, how dare you talk to me about issues?
So yeah, exactly. Listen, at some point, we have to, as a movie-going audience, come to a decision.
Yeah.
We are either all children, and then you make all movies PG-13 and explain absolutely everything because I am a child. But if you put an R rating on a movie, don't explain it to me. I'm a grown-up. Right? I understand the issues. You can just tell your story, but don't specifically point to all of the bad things in this world and then go, oh, do you see? Like, I know it's bad. Do you know it's bad? Don't do that. Act of Killing. For the reason we love that movie is because at no point did the director come out and go, yo, these guys are the worst people of all time.
I think they just was so made great them tell the story. Was actually, you were alongside the filmmaker.
Yeah.
Right? So essentially, what I love about that the movie is, first like, of all,
you the know story these guys
is,
are monsters.
No, but it's not even that, right? So the story of that movie is, they didn't even go out there to make that movie. Yeah. They went out there to make the second one that we watched.
Right.
And then just fucking stumbled into this thing.
Saw that these guys were crazy
and
people.
And essentially, how they get the film is that you are beside them, right? What you are doing, you're standing up beside them just with your jaws dropped.
You're just like,
you're like, wait, you're doing what now? Which is what the directors are saying. And every step of the way, you're just like, wait, sorry, what?
You're just like, this is impossible.
I know you're bad, but you can't get in it.
Yeah.
Oh, you just got worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you're going to stop there. Oh, no, you're not going to stay. Right. Oh, you're going to get even. Yeah. That's why that movie's so good.
Yeah. Like,
and also why I've never watched it again.
Oh, I've seen that movie a couple. The problem with watching that movie is I start it and I remember the highlights and why it is incredible. And then halfway through, I'm just like, oh, I need to stop watching this. Because I'm very sad and upset.
Yup.
Listen, at some point, I need directors to treat me like an adult. Right? Don't pander to me. Don't pander to whoever is voting on awards. Don't pander to movie critics. Not cricket.
Movie cricket.
I would like to say movie cricket.
Yeah, me too. Change the name of this
How
website.
Do they change? What rules found, would they change?
We finally found the name of this podcast. It's movie cricket. It is why we find Lars so refreshing. Because he's not talking about any issues in his movies. And he could give less than a fuck about what the critics of his movies think.
Yeah. He
just goes,
actually,
this
I
is
think
the movie
to be
we're
fair,
making.
He talks about issues, but he talks about it differently, right? Because essentially, what has happened to him, I think, is that everybody seems to think,
no, this
maybe
last
rightly
one.
Or wrongly.
No, this last one was pointed at.
But no, critics. In a lot of his movies, he does a thing where he's like, here what? you think I have an issue, I'm going to throw it in your face. And he did that in Mandalay.
No, man. I'm not talking about him specifically. Mm-hmm. When you watch the movie,
yeah.
If you didn't know who Lars was and what he was trying to achieve,
uh-huh.
The movie on its face is just, this is the story we're telling.
Sure, yeah. You could always take that approach. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And uh-huh. Most of his movies is, this is, this, like, I know you haven't seen this, which is absolutely ridiculous, but Dancer. You finally have it here. Right.
Yeah.
This is a movie about a blind person mm-hmm. and the things that can happen. But at no point did he stop and go, listen, world, you need to appreciate the difficulties of not be like, he's just like, this is my goddamn story. It's half of that movie is a goddamn musical. That is how little of Foxy is. It's just like, you're adults. Fucking figure this shit out. Life is hard. I'm telling my story and fuck y'all. But Douglas, I'm not going to allow you to distract me from the truth that this movie is tremendous.
This movie is tremendous.
Casal is he's in the early. It is January and he is in the lead for MVP for 2019.
All right, I would accept that nomination. Right.
So early lead for MVP for 2019. I really did. I came away from this movie. Even with bad ending and all. Well, the final ending was great. But I came away from this movie. Yeah, I came away from this movie very, very happy. Yeah, and I'm not going to met Douglas and his words and his reasoning distract me from the goodnessity of this movie.
This movie so much.
I like this movie. And fuck Douglas. I'm quadrupling though. Starting off this year.
Listen, not David Clipping Diggs.
Yeah, listen.
Need to go Clippy, fucking rap some more.
Clippy is bad, right? If I'm being honest, I didn't like Clippy in this movie at all. Here's the thing though. Clippy was only ever by himself for a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I wasn't with David, he was with Shiva. And then the other times I'm going to edit out of this movie. So this is a 5 out of 5. This movie is top approved. Give a shit what Douglas says. Him and his reasoning. Here's what I think about your reason.
Damien, you have 3 days to go.
Oh, 2019 is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of 2019, Andrew is the only person to see a movie from 2019.
Yep.
He saw Glass.
Yes, he did.
Andrew.
So,
Andrew, all right.
By default, this movie is officially the best movie of 2019 because I've not seen any other 2019 movies.
Before you start, I need to explain something. I love James McAvoy.
I agree with you.
Great. Yeah.
I don't want to like Split.
Did you like Split?
Because it's not good.
But
James McAvoy is so good.
So good.
He's so good.
I actually quite like that movie.
I am ignoring.
That might be the reason why I like
that movie. I am ignoring the story.
See there, Douglas, you were able to like White Boy in that movie.
Right. I am just staring at James McAvoy and his performance.
There was no importance in that movie.
None whatsoever.
There was the importance.
And ignoring the fact that M. Shyamalan Knight can't tell a story.
M. Shyamalan Knight. That's what the importance was.
Andrew Robinson. I did not like Unbreakable.
Yeah.
I do not like M. Shyamalan. But I find myself drawn to watching this movie.
To watching James McAvoy show.
James McAvoy.
I know, I'm definitely going to watch Glass when I have the chance.
I've already seen your 2 stars. I accept that this movie is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shyamalama Ding Dong is making this movie. However, how is the McAvoy's?
I really do hate that name, by the way.
I've come to really hate that. But yeah, whatever. The McAvoy's is great.
Yes.
He keeps up everything you loved about Split.
Yes.
To that level, consistently. Anytime they give him the mic, he's on it.
All right. All right, I have two more questions. What level of Sam Jackson am I getting? Am I getting peak Sam Jackson? Am I getting Yes, They Deserve to Die Sam Jackson?
No, no, not that or, peak. Not that high a peak.
Or am I getting Avengers? He's only in 2 seconds, Sam, and doesn't do anything. Sam Jackson. What Sam Jackson am
Sam
I getting?
Sam Jackson really has one scene, because for the first half of this movie, he is in a chair doing nothing. He's just drugged out in a chair.
Okay. Right. And the last question was going to be about Bruce Willis, but Bruce Willis has sucked for the last 20 years, yeah, so I don't give a shit. So you said
you know
McAvoy's...
Who I'm actually excited for is, and I can never remember her name, but American Horror Story.
Sarah Paulson.
She's in there. She seems to be the therapist.
Yep.
Yes.
So I don't see her being in a lot of the movie.
She's in a lot of the trailer, but I think they're just hiding it. They could be hiding it, but... I could see her ending up being like the orchestrator of bad things or something like
that. All right. Andrew, give me a percentage. How much McAvoy am I getting?
You're getting the percentage you can guess. 30 to 35%.
No, I mean throughout the movie.
Thirty percent of the movie, thirty-five percent. Like,
that's not enough McAvoy for me to see M. Night movie.
The opening of the movie is Bruce Willis versus James McAvoy. And then they go to the madhouse.
Yeah.
And James McAvoy has like a good bit for the first. Like it's around 40% McAvoy.
Yeah, but that's 60% not McAvoy. That's a lot of time to be in an M. Night movie not enjoying myself.
Is it sad that I'm imagining with this conversation that it's 40% McAvoy and 60% breeze blowing?
You know what I found very interesting?
I forgot that he did The Happening. I legit forgot that he did The Happening. when I saw that he did it, I'm just like, wait a second. Why did I ever watch another M. Night anything?
We tricked you.
Yeah, Andrew.
We said James McAvoy, and then you're like, God damn it.
James McAvoy.
Remember The Visit, Douglas? I still like that movie.
Yeah. Fuck y'all. Visit sucks.
But you know what I found interesting? I rewatched Unbreakable before this movie, and I'm not the biggest Unbreakable fan, right? But
it's because it's a bad movie.
Not going to go there, Damien. I'll leave you alone. But what I found really interesting is if you remember, I think Unbreakable is what, his second movie that he made?
Yes.
Right?
Right. He saw dead people and then he bored me to tears with Unbreakable.
Right.
Unbreakable?
Yeah.
No. No, isn't Signs the second movie?
Sort this, you stupid thing. Not by
No, actually, no, no, sorry. I think you're right. I think Unbreakable is the second one. Because now that I think about it, you're right. I did kind of like Unbreakable, and then I fucking hated Signs. And I remember it was a decline. Yeah, yeah. All right.
So like,
I think my hatred for Signs is why me and Andrew became friends. I think one day he was trying to defend Signs.
Like,
and
you know,
I had to step out there and go, you've lost your mother.
You know how bad Signs is? Signs is so bad that M. Night made me dislike a movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin.
And Mel Gibson, who, despite people hating him, I tend to like his movies.
Oh no, Mel Gibson can—he's the worst human.
Yeah,
he's the worst human.
But boy, but
his movies are good.
His movies are great.
Am I to stop liking his movies because he's a terrible person? Probably. I'm not going to.
I up to the other day, I was like, you know what? I think I should watch Lethal Weapon again.
Oh,
I love those movies.
I watched three Lethal Weapon movies.
Sorry, one, the four Lethal Weapon
I watched
Weapon
the three
movies.
Lethal Weapon
Damien,
movies.
Damien, I love Mel Gibson so much that I actually like the fourth Lethal Weapon movie.
I hate Chris Rock so much I've deleted the fourth Lethal Weapon movie.
Oh, those movies are great.
Yes, they are. I want to not like them because he's a terrible human.
Yeah.
Still like them though.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got even things like The Patriot.
Payback. Oh my God.
Ransom.
Payback.
Oh no, not Ransom. Ooh. But you know what movie actually? Maverick. Again, just Maverick is great.
Yeah.
But just to show like how great he can be. Movies like Maverick where they're stupid. But I was actually thinking of another stupid movie, which is, and that's another one that's being remade this year. Women, What Women Want.
Oh my God, I saw the trailer, almost threw up at work.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I fucking like that original movie.
That movie's bad.
It's bad.
But I still like
it. But I love it, yeah.
This remake, though.
Ooh. But then again, to be fair, we should feel that way about the first movie.
Oh, no, I do feel that way about the first movie. I just saw the first one. I like it. I know it's bad.
Yeah. So maybe this one is going to be like that
think
one?
I don't think the people remaking it know that. I don't think they're aware of that.
I know. Which is sad. It is. Oh, you know what else I'm sad about? We're not getting a second Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
No,
yeah,
we are. We're getting a second Ghostbusters. We're getting a third Ghostbusters.
No, you're getting a third Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you're getting a third.
I wanted a second Ghostbusters. Yeah. We're getting instead a third Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Sony and has bail cool. on the all women. Yeah. Whatever, whatever.
Not cool. I know I wasn't... I didn't care. I wasn't really that excited about the new Ghostbusters. However, after watching it...
Yeah.
Oh... So excited. Nothing can stop me. So upset.
You got over those issues.
Hashtag not all women.
Hashtag not all women.
No, for this third one. It's not all women.
Actually, just hashtag no women.
Oh, this world's so dumb.
Boy. Why don't people like that movie?
We live it because we live in a bad timeline. Donald Trump is president.
We need to roll the die, right?
Britain will exist in 2 months. Oh, that Theresa May shit.
Oh my God! So God, last week there were like 2 straight days where I was sitting at my desk and the television just was straight on BBC World. Yeah. Like, oh my God,
dog. What are they? No, this is the wrong podcast. This is not the right podcast.
Order!
Oh my God, this world.
Oh,
world
Brexit.
Falling apart.
And I don't know our politics. I don't know if I should like her or hate her. But that country's put her in such a shitty position.
Dog, like, whether you are not, like, the thing she's asked to do is impossible.
Impossible.
Right? The thing... No one can get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Because the answer doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Am I? Hush.
To be fair, they are still mildly confident in her.
Vote on no confidence failed. After she lost by the largest margin.
Yep.
On a billion British history.
She won her no confidence vote by like 600 people out of vote. Like
400 people. Just like, fuck no. What is happening? Oh, Lord.
The unnamed Brexit podcast.
But Damien, I need to know.
Yes.
Was your childhood dream recognized when you finally watched Dragon Ball Super Broly?
Oh, right.
So, by the way, before we even start, I need to ask a question.
Yes.
Because I also saw this in your stream.
Yes, sir.
And the first thing that came to my mind is this animation movie, and it could make sense because remember, it's a fucking cartoon. Is it really about some sort of magic umbrella? Is that what this movie is about?
No.
So the Broly is not an umbrella.
No, it's not an umbrella.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
This is a person.
Okay.
That has been in movies before, but was legit the worst character in... And this is saying something. It was the worst character in Dragon Ball history. It is just an angry man. It's basically the Hulk, but with no flip side.
Okay.
It is just an angry thing.
Douglas,
that is angry all the time.
So Thor,
I just want you to understand right now, Damon is about to take 5 minutes to talk about a Japanese anime film that I did not send him.
So here's what happened.
Andrew, this is your fault.
No, this is not. I had no intentions of watching this because it's a Dragon Ball Z movie. Like, I was done. But Friday, we had nothing to do in the office. And someone in the office downloaded the Dragon Ball Z, like a cam. Like, not even a legit version. Like, someone got a
I didn't even know these existed. A 1080p cam. Which is, when I saw that, I was just like, I need to see this because this is the dumbest shit.
Because nowadays you have...
Yeah, the cameras aren't good enough. So I sat down.
GoPro.
Right. We sat down and we're just like, well, we don't have nothing else doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no work to be done. So, and we have to stay here till 4. So let's do this. And everyone in the office sat there and we started watching this. And something very strange happened. 15 minutes in, I looked around.
Did everybody
start? And everybody was just like, hands on jaws, just staring intently at this. Like, everyone was lost into the movie.
Hey, wow.
I was just like, wait a second. I wonder if, is this movie good? And then 45 minutes in, I went, this might be good. And then I remember the thing that made me like Dragon Ball in the first place was that...
It tricks you into thinking it's good?
No, man. It's that the fighting is spectacular. Yeah, the right. But because it's a movie, they didn't have 14 days to charge up. Here's the thing that the 20 years of them making this has given them. The fight scenes in this look tremendous. There's half of this movie is just people fighting, and every single one of those fights is unbelievable. Like, they have a big budget, so they're able to do shit that they've never been able to do. The fight, the animation, all of it looks good. And then they told a decent story. Not like a decent story for Dragon Ball, like a decent story for everybody else, mm-hmm. which makes it immediately the best Dragon Ball story that was ever been told. So I sat down to ridicule this movie and then got up and was like, I think I might have to go buy this shit. Which is why I'm like, it is not, the 5 stars is just because of how surprising it was that I enjoyed a movie from the Dragon Ball people that weren't the Dragon Ball abridged people who were making fun of it. Like, this movie knows that Dragon Ball is stupid, and there's parts of it where it feels like they finally realize. They're just like, this is dumb, so let's continue playing with this. But the story is well told. The action is, it's some of the best action I've seen in any anime at any point. And so it's just good. Like, I was confused, and that's why I put it up on the thing. I'm like, I have to put this up because I can't just come on the podcast and go, hey, guys, Dragon Ball, because you guys will stop listening to me. It's like, I don't want to hear anything you have to say, David. I do not expect Douglas to watch this. Andrew, I think you'll be impressed.
So I haven't heard a word that you've said right. So far. So your mouth has been moving.
And you heard more.
All
more.
I've been hearing. More, no, more, I actually more. Did hear words. More, I heard more, Dragon more. Ball Umbrella. Dragon yes. Ball Dragon Umbrella. Ball just umbrella. Over and over.
No, Broly isn't an umbrella. I don't even know where you got that idea from. There's. I don't even remember seeing an umbrella in that thing.
It's the word, Broly.
You're an idiot. You're a goddamn idiot. Douglas Robinson, what have you been wasting your time watching?
Oh, so much. Actually, you guys mentioned one of the things I've been wasting my time with, which is Indiana Jones. I have watched all 3 of them. I'm not really going to talk about it because obviously, I mean, all of the reasonable members of this podcast mm-hmm. love this movie or these movies.
Yeah, I like the 3 of them.
Oh, you do? Okay, cool. I thought for some reason that you didn't like them. No, but okay. Maybe it's Star Wars I'm thinking of. It's no, fine.
Right. The ones that we had issue with is that yeah, you thought... No, you told me there was... Like, they were writing a 4th one or
no,
something
no, no,
like
no,
that.
No, okay, no, yeah. I'm pretty sure that was just okay. unsubstantiated rumors. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So all 3 of those movies are great. But...
So good.
So
you like all of them.
I like all of them.
Yeah.
The weird
There's
thing,
There's one
though,
that is weak, but
yes,
who cares?
Correct. But... One thing, so I watched this as a child and loved it as a child.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing when you watch it as an adult who, you know, is somewhat knows things a little bit.
Yeah.
Is then when you watch it, you start to think, boy, the lens that this is portraying people not from America in.
Yes.
Is
also the sexual harassment.
And that too, yeah. It definitely is of a time. And
a better time.
That's not fun. Right? So okay, so we can move on from that. One thing I also want to just say that I watched, which I'm sure we've talked about 100 times, but just because I love it so much, is Perks of Being a Wallflower. I realized I didn't own that movie and immediately bought it and watched it again. I love it to death. So okay, I have a couple of things that I thought I wanted to talk about, but I don't see the them here. wait, hold on. No, seriously. Oh, so I watched, and I don't see it on my list anymore, which is weird. A shitty movie. I watched Hotel Artemis. Have any of you guys watched this movie?
Nope, I know what it is. I ignored it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like it could be a dumb genre of movie. It's not. It's just a bad movie. It's about essentially, you could kind of compare it with John Wick in the sense that it's about the hotel from John Wick,
mm-hmm.
where if you go there, you're safe.
Right.
But it's not really a hotel. It's more a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like shit. The whole world is dying around it, essentially.
Okay.
And it's but not it, very good.
It has the guy that we like.
It from, does. Sterling K. Brown. Yeah. Yes. He
from Predator.
The problem is he does not shoot off his face in this movie. So oh, and it has Paperboy. It does.
And you said this is bad.
And it's bad. Oh, it's sad.
You had one job.
I know, I know. And I also watched White Snack stand up by the name of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I only really know White Snack for a couple of things. One is
the Bugle
trailers. Yep, trailers for a show that looks way too serious for me to want to watch on HBO.
Tell you to go and watch it.
And the other is the Bugle, and he's not very good on the Bugle because he clearly he needs to get paid more to be funny.
His temperament doesn't translate.
No, of course, yeah.
All
that's,
the time.
That's how it goes. It's like
you need a visual to go with it.
It's like Harry Kondabolu. I think he's okay on the Bugle, but I watched his stand-up and I love Harry Kondabolu's stand-up. Clearly the same thing happened here. I really like this special. And it was made even more special when puppets got involved, and that was fun as well. So I definitely want to see what else this guy's done. But yes, I have not done much other than that.
I see Netflix trying to trick me with a movie.
Speaking of Netflix, yes. I knew there was something else I wanted to talk about, but it's not in here because it's not a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a television show by the name of Sex Education. Either of you watch this show?
I'm afraid.
I saw an ad at some point.
I saw the ad and I'm afraid.
So, Damian,
Gillian
Anderson is superb in this show.
Okay.
She is so fucking funny.
All right.
She is like this mature sex goddess, right? And you're seeing her through the eyes of her son, who
does not understand what is happening.
No, he understands.
Okay.
And equally does not appreciate it.
Oh.
And it's great.
Is the show good? Because you're talking around it.
Yeah, I actually kind of like the show. I really like the show. It's like a mismatch of The Education of Charlie Bartlett, which I really liked, and Lovesick, which I fucking watch on a daily basis, which is another Netflix show. But I rather like the show. It's more the children than Gillian Anderson. But Gillian Anderson gets enough play where she can be a reason to watch this movie, this show.
All right, yes. You've sold you sold me on actually watching it. I saw a trailer for Anthony Mackie's I.O. on Netflix.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to tell all of you right now.
Should I watch that movie?
Netflix will not trick me again.
Because that trailer don't look too bad.
I am not watching it.
I actually just watched that trailer today.
Until someone can definitively say anything good about that, I'm not allowing Netflix to waste any more of my time. Bird Box was my last straw.
Well, I don't know why you even tried. Oh, I mean, Bird Box Sandra was Bullock such a blatant ripoff of A Quiet Place.
No, I know it's his
own book.
Right, I heard of Bird Box before I saw A Quiet Place.
Yes, but it's so that is why I was excited. The book Bird Box was still a ripoff of A Quiet Place.
Right? It was a pre-ripoff.
Yes.
When I saw that she was in there, I went, boy, this trailer looks bad. But let me give this movie.
I too have a likening of the Sandra Bullock, but I also recognize that she is more often than not in horrible movies.
I'm blaming Netflix. I'm not starting 2019 upset. I don't want to.
Really?
I don't want to. I want to be happy. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. I need to be happy. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching a cartoonish amount of sports.
I get you. But then if you wanted to be happy, why didn't you do the Bird Box challenge?
I'm a grown up.
Because you YouTube banned it. You can't do it anymore.
I'm a grown up.
Oh,
I like when YouTube giant companies have to step in and save people from themselves.